गणेशाय नमः सरस्वत्यै नमः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ जातवेदसे सुनवामसो मम राति यतो निदहाति वेदः स नः पर्षदति दुर्गाणि विश्वानामेव सिन्धुम् दुरिताग्निः तामग्निवर्णाम् तपसा ज्वलन्तीम् वैरोचनीम् कर्मफलेषु जुष्टा दुर्गाम् देवेकम् शरणमाम् प्रपद्ये सुतरसि तरसे नमः अग्ने त्वम् पारयानव्यो अस्मान् स्वस्तिभिरति दुर्गाणि विश्वा पोश्च पृथ्वी बहुला न उर्वी भवातोकायतनयाय शय्यो विश्वाणि नो दुर्गः जातवेदः सिन्धुम् न नावादुरितातिपर्षि अग्ने अत्रिवन्मनसा गृणानोऽस्माकम् बोध्य विदा तनूनाम् पृतनाजितगुम् समानमुग्रमग्निगुम् हुवेम परमा सदस्तात् स नः पर्षदति दुर्गाणि विश्वाक्षामद्देवो अतिदुरितात्यग्निः प्रत्नोषि कमेज्यो अध्वरेषु सनाच्च होतानव्यश्च सत्से स्वाम् चाग्ने तनुवम् पिप्रय स्वास्मभ्यम् च सौभगमायजस्व गोभिर्जुष्टमयुजो निषिक्तम् तवेन्द्रविष्णोरनुसञ्चरेम नाकस्य पृष्ठमभि संवसा नो वैष्णवीम् लोक इहमादयन्ताम् कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
Offering my loving pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, revered elders, dear sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. It is said in our scriptures, Vedadyaneka Shastrani Svalpayur Vighna Kotayaha Tasmat Saram Vijaniyat Kshiram Hamsa Ivambhasi, meaning endless is the expanse of the Vedas, but the human life duration itself is very limited. And added to this, there are a multitude of obstacles on the path. Hence, it is wise to go straight to the essence of the scriptures, like the Hamsa sipping the pure milk from that diluted with water. Go straight to the essence. How true! Vedas are our spiritual heritage. And for the youth of this country to realize this glorious inheritance and to uphold it, they must first understand the very essence of our culture. And this must be the reason why in the 1960s, even though there were the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabhas, Bhagwan still chose to start the summer course, especially for the students, to gather, to listen to all the experts and Bhagwan himself talk about the relevant themes from Indian culture and spirituality. The first ever summer course was held in the year 1972 in Vrindavan. It was centered on the theme Vedas and Upanishads. In 1973, it was on the relationship between man and God, and the following year on Bharat and its spiritual heritage, and so on it goes. In early 2011, Bhagwan blessed the current format of the summer course to be reinitiated as an annual event of 2.5 days duration during the month of June for all the students, teachers, scholars and staff of the institute. The relevance of the summer course only grows by the year, and the list of the beneficiaries this year includes not only the students from all the 4 campuses of the institute, but also the higher secondary students from Prashanti Nilayam and also the 10th standard boys from Bhagwan's school at Rajahmundry. In this evening's session, we will have a summary of the morning's proceedings presented first by Ms. Vidya Jaikumar, a third year Bachelor of Arts student from Anantapur campus of our institute. Ms. Vidya had been a Balvika student from Mumbai and has been blessed by Bhagwan even to perform in front of him during the Ashadi program. Following her summary presentation, we will have 2 talks by our students. The first speaker for the evening is Sri Dhruv Vyas, a third year Bachelor of Arts student from Prashanti Nilayam campus. Dhruv finished his schooling and pre-university from the St. Joseph's School in Bhopal and joined Bhagwan's College in the year 2011. He will be speaking to us on the topic Transformation, the True Sign of Devotion. The second speaker for the evening is Sri G. Aditya of the first year Master's Program in Financial Management from Vrindavan campus. Sri Aditya hails from Hyderabad and joined Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School for the 11th standard in the year 2008, after which he went on to pursue BCom honors at the Vrindavan campus. He will be speaking to us on the theme, Culture is Concern for Others. After these 2 speeches, we will have a bouquet of melodious songs being offered to Bhagwan by the students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning Muddanahalli campus first, followed by the students of Sri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music. The session will then conclude with bhajan and Mangala Aarti. Now I request the speakers to take stage in the order mentioned. First, I invite Ms. Vidya Jaikumar to present the summary of this morning's proceedings. Ms. Vidya Jaikumar.
I offer my loving salutations at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, it is my pleasant duty this evening to present the summary of the proceedings of the first day of the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality organized by the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. The inaugural session of the summer course commenced with the invocatory Vedic chants by the students of the institute. This was followed by a welcome note by the registrar, Dr. Naren Ramji. The registrar began by welcoming the participants to the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality. He emphasized the need to recapitulate the philosophy behind Bhagwan's educational system. Quoting Bhagwan's words that he has envisioned his institutions to be modern gurukulas where a broad outlook and virtues may be cultivated. Dr. Naren Ramji then went on to point out that we, the students and teachers, are fortunate to be part of Bhagwan's educational mission. Unlike other institutions where values are taught, Bhagwan has added a spiritual dimension on the foundation of which true value education can be imparted. The inaugural address was given by Professor J. Shashidhara Prasad, the Vice Chancellor of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who after an illustrious academic career joined the institute as the 9th Vice Chancellor in the year 2010. The Vice Chancellor began by saying that Bhagwan is the cosmic divine consciousness present everywhere, and we can connect to him by perceiving him in everything. Bhagwan has shown us the path to self-realization as well as the way to perceive divinity. Citing the experience of Dr. Alex Carroll, Nobel Laureate of 1912, on the importance of prayer, the Vice Chancellor referred to an interview with God in which God said that man must learn that the shortest distance between God and him is prayer. The revered Vice Chancellor insisted that all of us have a part to play in Bhagwan's mission, and what we have to do is free ourselves of ego and become perfect instruments in his hands. In this way, we may prepare ourselves to discover the true purpose of our existence. Professor Prasad concluded his inspiring address by reminding us of Bhagwan's clarion call, "Be about my work, my devotees." He expressed the hope that the deliberation of summer course would help to carry forward Bhagwan's mission and vision. The talks of the morning session of the summer course started with a lecture by Sri Sanjay Sani, director of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Brindavan campus, on the topic Lessons from the Ramayana for Modern Society. Sri Sani began by saying that the tragedy of modern day education is that we don't know our parents, by parents implying that culture is our mother and divinity is our father. The learned speaker said that the study of the Ramayana is equal to the study of the Vedas, where Ra stands for Rig Veda, Ma for Sama Veda, Ya for Yajur Veda, and Na stands for Atharvan Veda. The study of the Ramayana is a rewarding experience if one approaches it with a kind of reverence that a child has for its mother. The poet Kamban compares the Ramayana to an ocean of milk. This might make us think that understanding the Ramayana is a daunting task, but just as a drop is enough to understand the taste of milk, so also a drop is enough to understand the ocean of milk called Ramayana. The Ramayana, or the story of the Lord, is the sure remedy to cure the disease of Bhavaroga, that is, the cycle of births and deaths. The speaker said that the Ramayana begins with sage Vishwamitra going to King Dashrata and asking for his two sons to protect a yaga that he was planning to undertake. During Sri Rama's journey from Siddhashrama to Mithila, he comes across three women. Tatiki, who stands for Tamoguna, Ahalya, who represents Rajoguna, and Sita, the symbol of Sattvaguna. The speaker illustrated the qualities of Sri Rama that are worth emulating, such as humility, detachment, desirelessness, and so on. The exile, which we might misconstrue as a tragedy, was in fact the moment of the commencement of Rama's mission of establishing Dharma as a way of life. The second speaker of the morning's proceedings was Ms. Lalita Sharma, a doctoral research scholar from the Department of English Language and Literature, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus. In her scintillating presentation on Lessons from the Mahabharata for Modern Society, Ms. Sharma picked up some of her favorite episodes, especially those that center around the great women characters such as Kunti, the kingmaker, Satyavati, the mother, the dowager of Hastinapur, Gandhari, the mother of the Kauravas who suffered from the hermeneutic blindness, and Yajnaseni. In course of her interesting talk, Ms. Sharma highlighted the salient messages that the Mahabharata conveys to modern man. Firstly, that ignorance of one's true strength and acting based on this ignorance is adharma. Secondly, the Mahabharata emphasizes the futility of war and stresses on the point that compassion and non-violence are the highest dharma. If victory is where dharma is, then dharma is where the Lord is. The speaker punctuated her talk with illustrative incidents that prove the relevance of the Mahabharata to the contemporary times. She concluded her presentation with a prayer to Bhagwan to protect the honor of all women at all times. Ms. Sharma's talk was followed by a short video on Bhagwan's ashram at Vrindavan Whitefield, beginning with the history of its establishment in 1964. The video captured Bhagwan's gracious darshan sessions in the early days at Vrindavan when he used to walk among the devotees. It was in Vrindavan in 1972 that Bhagwan held the first summer course in Indian culture and spirituality, thereby launching the era of Sri Sati Sai education. This was followed by an interactive session comprising a bhajan antakshri. The participants were divided into four groups, that is Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram and Shubham. There were two rounds of normal bhajan antakshri, followed by three rounds of bhajan medley, translation round and raga round and a visualization round. The two unique features were the reverse sweep round and rapid fire round. The antakshri gave us all an opportunity to contemplate on the name of God. The bhajan antakshri received an enthusiastic response from both the participants and the audience. In the post-lunch session, the students of the four campuses were divided into different groups with team leaders to engage in a study circle on four selected discourses given by Bhagwan during the summer course in 1990. The discourses center around the theme of control and mastery of the senses. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer at the divine lotus feet of the one who is the ocean of compassion, the one whose love surpasses the love of thousands of mother, the one who sprouts the seed of transformation in the hearts of millions, the one who is my most intimate friend, my ever guiding guide, the one who is my beloved Mother Sai. I offer my most humble and reverential pranams at the divine lotus feet of my Mother Sai. Esteemed elders, brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. Once a senior devotee happened to visit abroad, and as it has been the tradition, before leaving, the devotee approaches Bhagwan and prayed that what message shall he give to the devotees abroad, or what kind of seva they shall undertake to make Bhagwan happy. Bhagwan smiled and says, no doubt the seva they are doing is important, but what the seva is doing to them is more important to me. I will be very happy to know that how much of that seva is making them pure or transforming their hearts. So in such a subtle manner, Swami explains that ultimately what he wants is just our transformation of heart. I won't be wrong if I say that transformation is the true sign of devotion. The goal for each one of us is to transform ourselves from the level of human to divine. To enlighten us on this path of transformation, the Lord himself descended in the form of our beloved Swami. But how do we perceive transformation? To answer this question, let us go back 5,000 years to the time of Lord Krishna. Once Lord Krishna was sitting
on the banks of River Yamuna. A devotee approaches the Lord and asks, "Lord, among so many of your devotees, who are the best devotees?" The Lord, in his most inimitable style, smiles and replies, and asks the devotee to get a stone from the river. On bringing the stone back, Lord Krishna tells the devotee to break it. The devotee obeys. And what he observes, that the stone is totally dry from inside, but wet from outside. Seeing this, the Lord says, "These are the devotees who are in my presence for many years. Just like the stone is in the river for thousands of years, and not even a single drop of water entered inside the stone. Similarly, there are devotees who are around me for many years, but not even an inch of my teachings and love entered their hearts." So today, let us ask ourselves, despite of being in Prashanti Nilayam for so many years, despite of being in so close proximity of God, let us ask this question to ourselves. Despite of being in Prashanti Nilayam for so many years, or being in the Lord's presence for so many years, how much of his love and teachings we are following from our hearts? Coming back to the story, Lord Krishna then takes a silk dhoti and dips it in the river. Consequently, the dhoti absorbs the water. The Lord then elaborates by saying, "These are the devotees who come in my presence for some time and get their hearts filled with my love and teachings. But when the wind blows, the silk dhoti dries up. In the same way, when the wind of worldly life blows, my teachings will evaporate from their hearts, but they'll come again to get themselves recharged." After some time, the Lord materializes a sugar candy and throws it into the river. The devotee observes that immediately sugar candy is dissolved in the river water. At this sight, the Lord says, "These are the best devotees who are very dear to me. They are the ones who come in my presence and merge in me." Therefore, in this way, we all should strive hard to reach the level of sugar candy, so that one day we can also be one in the Lord's ocean of love. But why ought do we transform? Do we need to transform ourselves? Well, a beautiful analogy will help us to understand. A heart is like a pot filled with curd. The curd represents the negative qualities that pollute our hearts. The potter of this pot, our beloved Lord, is waiting to pour the fresh milk of his love and grace into this pot. But before doing so, he wants us to get rid of all the bad qualities or all the curd inside the pot. Because if there's even a single drop of curd inside the pot, his entire milk of grace changes to curd. Thus, in this way, we can transform our heart by annihilating all the bad qualities so that we can be the direct recipient of Lord's grace. In fact, Swami himself has given a beautiful analogy for this matter. He says, "In order to grow a garden, the first step is to pluck out all the weeds, because only then the flowers grow and bloom. Our hearts are like this garden, and unless we pluck out all the weeds of evil from our hearts, the flowers of God's grace can never bloom." One of my fondest memories I treasure in the context of transformation is something I experienced during our 2011 Gram Seva program. It was a little boy and just two laddus which I had offered, and what I got in the return was not a thank you, but a big warm smile. A smile that touched my heart, a smile that melted me, a smile that transformed me. For that smile, that mere smile made me realize the joy derived from helping others. And then it dawned upon me forever that even the smallest of things in this world have the ability to transform. Now we know what is transformation, what is the need for transformation, and let's go to the final part. How do we transform ourselves? Well, the answer is something that is so familiar to all of us. Of the several things that have the ability to transform, the most powerful one, as Bhagwan says, is love. Once it so happened in 1970s, Bhagwan blessed a group of devotees with an interview, and they asked Swami as to what are his expectations from devotees. Swami says, "Ultimately your body will reduce to ashes one day, And at that time when you will come to me, I won't ask about your degrees, your qualifications or your bank balance. Instead, I'll ask you that the love I've given to you, how much of that love you've shared with my creation and humanity. Talking about this theme of transformation and love, I am reminded of a unique facet of Swami's love narrated by Professor Kasturi in Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Part 2, Chapter 7. He elaborates this unique assurances and inspiration given by Swami to the prisoners of the jail of Andhra Pradesh, which touched and transformed the lives of prisoners forever. It was far prison Andhra Pradesh, but not far from God's grace. Bhagwan once sent a message to the prisoners when they asked for it. Let me narrate to you the grateful acknowledgement from one of the prisoners. I quote, "We are sinners, certainly, but our lives have become full of hope through some stray acts of merit, which for we have rendered ourselves fit to receive your grace. Really, if there are any who can be declared fortunate in the world, we are the ones. We are truly proud of this, that the stream of your mercy has started flowing towards these mean men who have injured society and who are suffering punishment is no ordinary event. We pray that you should grant us your darshan and blessings. You have written to us out of the vastness of your mercy, that you will elevate us with your darshan, sparshan and sambhashan at Puttaparthi." Unquote. The letter from this prisoner is the evidence of exhilaration felt by the prisoners of that jail when the parcel arrived with a message of consolation and courage from Bhagwan. Other letters from Swami followed as the prison became a paradise for the pious. Just like the mother who pours extra love on the wayward child, Swami is kind to dependent criminals, and the sunshine he spreads over these is a sign of his universal love. To conclude my talk, I would like to end it with a sonnet which describes Swami's love and devotion. Sai is his name, and his message is love. To care for us all, he has come from above. He shows us the way and marks out the pace. We must make effort to earn of his grace. He gives to us all, whoever we be. If we turn unto him, he'll help us set free. From doubt unto faith, he builds us anew and turns us to God in whatever we do. He's come to this world, a star unto man, to raise up this earth is part of his plan, to rid us of darkness, fear and of greed, and to bring us together regardless of creed. Together we love, together we sing, throughout every land our voices will ring, within every heart and in every tongue, with love and with joy his name will be sung. Thank you, Jasaira.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering my humble pranams at Swami's lotus feet, respected elders, teachers, and brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. Bharati Samskriti, also called as an Indian culture. One can get hundreds and thousands of meanings and explanations for this phrase. Even the great saints who lived in our country gave their own explanation based on their understanding. But our Swami gave such a beautiful explanation which one can understand easily and even assimilate it. He said, "Culture is concern for others." I started understanding about this statement when I started experiencing it. So today I'd like to share some of my experiences which helped me understand that our culture should be concern for others. It was during my 12th standard, I had come to school after my vacations. I was attending the bhajans that day in Sai Kulwant Hall, and Swami was sitting over the dais enjoying bhajans and granting darshan. That day prasadam distribution was there, and they were distributing mangoes, And they asked the students to distribute the prasadam to the students and to the devotees. I was distributing the prasadam right in the third block in front of Swami. And I was distributing in such a way that I was showing my back to Swami and I couldn't see Swami. As I was distributing, suddenly there was a commotion. All were looking at me and I was quite puzzled for what. One of the brothers said that, look back. And I asked for what? He said, Swami is seeing at you. So I immediately turned back. Swami is looking right at my face and he called me. I slowly moved towards him. As I was taking the steps, I was quite nervous and tensed, thinking that I did something wrong. I went to Swami and Swami said, "E pilal kuda prasadam ichche." He wanted me to give the prasadam, the mangoes, to the boys who were sitting in the first row. I said, "Alagena Swami," and started distributing prasadam. As I came towards the bhajan group, one of the boys was sitting in the first row and was playing tabla, and the other bhajans were going on. I didn't want to give the prasadam and disturb him, and I thought he would take the prasadam, however, from the prasadam room after the bhajans, and I skipped him and started moving further. When I moved further and started distributing, suddenly there was a commotion again, and all were looking at me. And this time I was sure that Swami is looking at me, so I turned back, Swami called me again. I went to Swami and Swami told, "Papam, vaadi kuda ichchara prasadam." He was requesting me to give the prasadam to that boy whom I missed and he was playing tabla. I was taken aback. So I immediately rushed to the boy, gave the prasadam, came to Swami and told Swami, "Swami, I gave prasadam." Swami told, "Chala santosham," and gave me a beautiful smile. That day Swami was not interested over the fact that everyone in the hall except that boy had got prasadam. But Swami was concerned over that fact that this individual had not got prasadam. During the Treta Yuga, when the bridge to Lanka was built from Rameshwaram, there were mighty warriors and the Vanara Sena. But Rama was kind enough to show his concern to that small squirrel which was putting its own effort for building that bridge. And that very Sai Rama had come down to earth in this Kali age to show his concern to all his devotees. And that day I understood that our culture should be concerned for others. It was during the last year Gram Seva time. I fell sick and I was diagnosed with dengue fever. I was admitted in the hospital. The next day was the Purnavati celebrations and all my friends and classmates were attending that and moving to their respective homes as the vacation for that semester is about to begin. Many of my classmates and friends came to me, met me and left. By the evening, I was all alone in the hospital and there was no one. I started feeling lonely. I asked Swami, "Is there anyone who is concerned about me, bothered about my health?" That evening, one of the teachers came to meet me, and as we were talking, I just asked him casually that when he is leaving to Vrindavan. He said that he has changed his plan. He, the director of our campus, and the warden of the hostel have decided to move the next day to Vrindavan, as my father was reaching Puttaparthi the next day, and he was also informed about that. These words hit my heart. It is as if Swami was clearly giving me assurance that here are the people who are really concerned about your health. The next day when my father arrived, it was as if the teachers were handing on the responsibility of my well-being onto the shoulders of my physical father. Being in association with Swami, even the teachers of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning lead their life showing concern for others and especially their students. These teachers have been personally handpicked and chosen by Swami to take care of his students, his only property. And that day I understood that my culture should be concerned for others. In our hostel, the boys belonging to the Muslim community maintain the Roza fasting during the month of Ramadan. At this time, they get up early in the morning, partake their food, and observe the fasting the entire day. Some of the boys who work in the dietary department get up much early in the morning and prepare food for them so that they can observe their fast. One of my boy who was preparing the food for them was my classmate. And I just asked him once, why do you have to get up so early in the morning and prepare some delicious food which takes a lot of time to prepare? Why can't you just get up and prepare something which they can eat and go? At that time, my friend gave me a beautiful answer which changed my perception towards life. He said that these boys maintain their fast and that rosa as a ritual and as an offering to the God. And being in Satya Sai institution, we have to respect all faiths and all religions. I just ensure that whatever food I prepare should be as tastier and delicious as his mother would have prepared in his house with all the love and concern for him. That day I understood that why should I live this life? I should live this life just to show concern for others. And being an associate in Swami, even the students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning lead their life every day in hostel by showing concern for others and especially to their classmates and friends. And I'm very proud to say that I belong to such a Sai family where each one lives for other and everyone lives for the God. These are the few experiences which made me understand that what is my true culture, that is concern for others. And I'm indeed very confident that Swami will give me much more experiences in my life which will reinforce this fact and ensure that I show concern for others. I like to pray to Swami to give me more opportunities in my life to show concern for others. Before I leave you all, I like to pay my obeisance to my physical mother who gave me this body and to the Divine Mother Sai who's inside this body is a spark of life and has spoken to you all till now. Jai Sai Ram.
The students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Muddenahalli campus, offer ourselves at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Mother Sai. We gratefully place a humble musical offering in front of the universal musician, our Gana Lola Sai. Thank you.
ಸಗರೆ ಸನಿ ದಮದನಿ sa madani sa madani sa swar sadhana aaradhana swar sadhana aaradhana bas hai yahi niloka bas hai yahi niloka श्याम तू घन श्याम तू मन मोहना मुरली धरा मेरा श्याम तू
मेरा श्याम तू
मेरा श्याम तू
Yeah. Yeah.
tandera.
Shri Sai Ram. Swami, we the students of Shri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music offer a bouquet of songs at your divine lotus feet.
ಚಕ್ರಧಾನ ದಿಗ್ಗದಿಗೆನದ ಚಕ್ರಧಾನ ದಿಗ್ಗದಿಗೆನದ ಕಣನ जितना दिया सरकार ने मुझको उतनी मेरी औकात नहीं। हो ये तो कर्म था उनका, वरना मुझ में तो ऐसी कोई बात नहीं।
ओ तू माने आना माने दिलदारा, असा ते तैनू रब मनिया। हो दस होर केड़ा रब दा दबारा, हो दस होर केड़ा रब दा दबारा, असा ते तैनू रब मनिया। ओ तू माने आना माने दिलदारा, असा ते तैनू रब मनिया। तू माने आना माने दिलदारा, असा ते तैनू रब मनिया। ओ दस होर केड़ा रब दा दबारा, ओ हो दस होर केड़ा रब
ਦਿਲਦਾਰਾ ਸਾਡੇ। Yeah. शिवाय नमः शिवाय नमः शिवाय नमः शिवाय सांब सदाशिव नमः शिवाय सांब सदाशिव नमः शिवाय शंकर नमः शिवाय
सुखिनो भवन्तु ಸಲೋಕಾ ಸುಖಿನೋ ಭವಂತು ಸಮಸ್ತ ಲೋಕಾ ಸುಖಿನೋ ಭವಂತು
ಜೈ ಬೋಲೋ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಸತ್ಯಸಾಯಿ.